Sunday school is every Sunday at 9 a.m. Today is Communion Sunday, July 5th. July 11th, Christian Growth Fellowship on Saturday at 10:15 a.m. for everyone. For those who would like to stay for lunch afterwards, you are welcome to come and do so. July 12th through the 17th, Wood River Baptist District Association at Macedonia Baptist Church, East St. Louis, Illinois. Pastor Williams will be giving his final annual address as moderator on Thursday, July 16th at 7 p.m. Good day, ladies. For those of you who plan to participate in the choir for Women's Day, which is August the 9th, here are the following rehearsals. July 6th at 5 p.m., July 18th at 11 a.m., August 2nd, immediately following morning service. Thank you, Sister Denise Jones. This coming Wednesday, July 8th, there will be Zoom-only Bible study. And we have some July birthdays. We would like to say happy birthday to the following who are celebrating a birthday in the month of July. Zachariah Collier, Phyllis Collins, Sandra Hastings, T. Tiffany Hertz, Denise Jones, Cassandra Lewis, Marissa Pierce, Gladys Red, Melvin Red, Mother Clariona Tucker, Tyrez Walker, Callie Williams, Josiah Williams, and Yvonne Wright. May God continue to bless you always. I now turn the service back over to the pulpit.
Again, we want to say happy birthday to all of those that have birthdays this month. May God continue to watch over and bless you. Good morning. Again, my eyesight's bad. I know my hearing is going bad, because I didn't hear anything. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We want to say good morning to you, all of those that are on the inside, those that may be listening on the outside. On behalf of our pastor, Dr. U.D. Williams, and the Union Missionary Baptist Church, God bless each and every one of you. At this time, we're going to ask those that can stand, if you would stand as we do our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You will continue standing as we go through our Lord's scriptures, which is Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. We're reading the King James Version, and it reads, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God, love others. Amen. You may be seated.
Bye.
Shall we say amen again to our choir? It's offering time. Time to give to the Lord. If you're giving through Givelify, that's great. Shall we bow our heads? Our Heavenly Father, we ask that our blessings upon this offering we're about to receive for the nourishing of your kingdom. Pray to bless each and every heart that has in their mind to give. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may stand and follow the directions of the ushers from the rear. Stand, may stand. It's prayer time. There's been a lot going on this week, both in house and out of house. Time for us to look to the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Lord. We want to continue to keep Sister Vicki Carwell in our prayers and those others that I may not know about, but you know about. People in your home, people in your community, others in our church family, we all need prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask for the blessings upon each and every one of us as we stand before you this morning. Father, we thank you for the blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us. We thank you for opening our eyes this morning, letting us be able to get out of our beds, clothe ourselves in our right minds. Father, we thank you for the food that you nourished us with this morning. We thank you just for the air that we have to breathe. We thank you that we have eyes to see and ears to hear. Father, we thank you that we have a mouth to praise you with. And we continue to praise you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Watch over, bless us, and keep us. Father, we pray that thou would touch our hearts as we get ready this morning and continue in service to open our ears that we may hear the word of God and not only be hearers of the word, but doers also. Father, we ask for thy blessings upon those that are sick, that thou may give a healing. Father, we ask for thy blessings upon those that need comforting. Give them comfort. comfort those, strengthen those that need strengthening. Father, we pray that thou will touch our hearts so that we may let you be a light for us shining in a sea of darkness, and that we may be that light also here on earth. Father, we pray that you will just bless us to be blessings to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time we turn our service over to the hands of our pastor, Dr. U.D. Williams. Say amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Reverend Sylvester Johnson. Let's put our hands together. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Hallelujah. For God is worthy not of some of the praise, but of all of the praise. Amen. Amen. We could tell that it's July 4th weekend. We come to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's lift up his name, for he's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. I know it was read in our announcements. We have our Zoom only Bible study this Wednesday. Zoom only. Please connect with that. It'd be sent out. If you need the information, let me know, or grab somebody, let somebody know, and we'll make sure you get that information so you can get connected to our Zoom Bible study. Amen. 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 We just appreciate you coming on today, for truly this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad. Be glad in it. Amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, Galatians chapter 6, for some who've been around for a while, this is a common, familiar verse, and I wanted to just share that with us today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there is no other. Jesus is the way. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the answer
for the world.
For the world today.
Above him. Jesus.
Jesus is the way.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the answer.
I'm going to believe that
for
the world
today.
Oh, above
him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
One more time. Oh,
Jesus is the answer.
Those who are able, if you'll please be kind to me, and if you can stand. If you're not able to stand, I understand. Galatians, that's Testament. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Just want to look at that. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 there. And want to talk about don't give up. Don't give up. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. I'll be reading from the King James Version. If yours sounds a little bit different, that may be the reason why. I've shared this verse before, but I want to look at this and encourage someone today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. If you have it, can you say, I'm there, Reverend? If you don't have it, say, I'm not there. Amen, 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 amen. That sounds a little low there. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Watch this, my brother. Watch this, my sister. Somebody need to hear this. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. I'm going to read that again. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. And simply, the preacher just wants to share with you on today, don't give up. Don't give up. You may be seated. It says in this scripture, in this verse, Galatians chapter 6, it says for all of us as we read this, and this is an independent clause, a part of this letter, and it says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Why? Because in time, in season, we shall reap if we faint not. In other words, if we don't give up, we'll get the harvest that God has for us because we have been steadfast and we have stayed continually into what God has called us to be and what God has called us to do. I'm reminded of a little piece of a story of a farmer who planted a seed in the spring. And a good farmer who plants the seed doesn't walk out the next morning expecting the harvest to come. You plant it on Monday, you don't wake up on Tuesday morning expecting to harvest. The farmer takes the time and goes through the process to water what has been planted. And the weeds and distractions that pop up that may hurt the seeds grow, the farmer takes time to weed the area in which the seed has been planted. And at the proper time when the seed has developed into a plant and the plant has developed into the fruit or the vegetable, the thing that it needs to be, then it's time for the harvest. But if you look at any seed process, there is a process. The waiting is the hard part. Planting the seed is not always as challenging, but waiting for the seed to develop, waiting for the play to make its process, waiting for the fruit to come from what has been planted. Many farmers have been tempted to abandon their field because the harvest didn't come quick. Many farmers have said, no, I'm not going to weed anymore. I'm not going to nurture anymore. I'm through with it. It's too much work to wait on the seed to develop and produce the fruit. Isn't that the story of some of us who are believers and disciples? Is that the gospel of Jesus Christ has been planted in our hearts? Nothing wrong with the seed, and be honest, there's nothing wrong with us, but we become weary sometimes. Our mind tells us, just go ahead and abandon that gospel seed that has been planted. How do I abandon it? In my lifestyle, in my study, in my prayer. Don't mean to, but life just keep on lifing. Can I make a word there? And as we look at it, we realize as the believer, I'm not saying you're wrong because I'm right there with you. I'm right there on that pew with you. That in life keeps on lifing, things keep on happening, challenges come, complexity of life keeps on challenging us to stay with the Lord, and sometimes we are tempted to abandon what God has placed in our heart and go right back to our own self-centered, without God ways. Every believer faces this season, don't they? Every believer can say, Reverend, I'm right there with you. I've had spiritual fatigue. I've been worn out. I've been overused. I've been overwhelmed. I've been underappreciated. And times when doing the right thing feels like you're not rewarded for what you've done. Let's talk about it. You don't get pat on the back. Nobody says thank you. You don't even get a thumbs up. You may get something else, but it's not a thumb. Stuff goes unnoticed. Things get unbearable. And we, you and me, we grow weary because we doubt what is right. Preacher stops preaching. Deacon stops deaconing. Trustee stops trusteeing. The pewing person stops pewing. You know what I mean. Y'all got to wake up this morning. Is that what I'm saying is whatever role God has called us, all of us become weary and feel like abandoning what God has called us and placed us to do. You feel like throwing in a towel. You feel like walking away. You feel like neglecting it, not doing it as much as you used to. And if you look at it, the reason why is because you don't see the results that you feel you ought to see. It's not happening the way you feel it need to happen. You're a certain age. You studied all night. So 50 folks should show up for class. You done did the right stuff. So you ought to have 89 people showing up for choir rehearsal. You done did what you're supposed to do. So everybody ought to give an offering to what you're trying to get done. You get weary. You get tired. Because the results, if they come, they come slow. And they're slow in coming. But in this text, Paul is writing to us who are believers who are confused about the law and grace. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Law is the rule of conduct that will please God. But Jesus replaced the law because if we believe in Jesus Christ, his blood has covered us. We're not right by what we do. It's right by who we are in Christ. And in this closing chapter, Paul turns a practical Christian living concept into a very valuable seed for us that can grow in our lives. After teaching on how to be a burden bearer and sowing and reaping, Paul arrives at the powerful exhortation. He simply says, don't you give up. Don't you faint. Don't you neglect what God has called you to. Keep on doing what you've been called to do in the Lord. There are some things you ought to quit. You ought to quit doing things that don't please God. You ought to quit things that don't line up with who you are in Christ. You ought to quit that stuff. But the stuff that's going to develop you into being the believer that you are, nurture you, and build you up, you don't give up on those things. God has called his people to be persistent in doing good because a guaranteed harvest awaits those who refuse to give up. If you want your award, if you want your reward, if you want the fruit of staying with the Lord and being faithful to the Lord, you can't give up, my brother. You can't give up, my sister. Are you going to get weary? Yes. Are you going to get tired? Yes. Are you going to get tired? Yes. Will some words come to your mind? Yes. But you can't give up. Let's look at this text here that as we look at it, I read it for you, but I got to keep on looking at this. It says in chapter 6, verse 9, let him, it says, and let us not be weary. You see that? It says, let us not be weary. I need to work on that. That first part of that, when I said, let us not be weary. I'm going to say that again. Let us not be weary. The thing is, we can't give up and we can't be weary because weary is a word that means to lose heart, to become faint in your spirit, to give in, to be exhausted, not to have no more power. That's what weary means. Then when you become weary, then you lose the acknowledgement and the nurture you feel you need to get, then comes into your life that produces neglect. And when you have neglect, you begin to compromise. And when neglect and compromise come together, that's a soup you don't want to have. When you start neglecting the things of God, you start forgetting how good God is. And I know somebody's listened to me, but I understand you've become a little tired, a little weary. But can I remind you of the God you serve? Didn't he bring you out of some stuff?
Take about 15 seconds and look at the hospital bed you were on. Take a few minutes and look at the roof that was over your head last night. Take a few minutes and look at your family and friends. You may not have everything that you want, and it may not be how you want it, but God still has provided some positive nuggets in your life. Don't be weary because a few little things in your life are not going the way you would want them to go. But if you step back and look at your needs and stop making a list of needs instead of looking at your list of wants, you'll see that God has supplied all your needs and more. God don't need me to argue for him, but I'm going to argue for him because I look at my life. He supplied all my needs. He's given me everything I need, bro, because God is a supplier, because God takes care. I have to remind myself, don't you lose heart. Don't you get exhausted. Don't you give up. And the same spirit that comes to me, I'm pouring it into you. Don't you lose heart. Don't you give up. Stay with the Lord. Put your hand in his hand, no matter how hard it gets. This is not just getting physically tired and you got to go take a nap. It's a deep soul fatigue. You get tired of the strain that goes along with serving. Get tired of the strain that goes along with being faithful. Can I use a big word? To get discouraged. Yeah, you get tempted to abandon what you have been doing and what you've been saying and your praise. It get to the point where everybody else is praising and somebody get a shout. They start shouting and you start saying what they shouting for. They shouting because God been good to them. And the same God that's been good to them is the same God that's good to you. You need to get your shout back and say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I could stop right there, but I'm going to teach this thing today. The first thing is let us not be weary. Let us not get exhausted. Let us not faint spiritually. Let's not get exhausted spiritually. Let's stay the course that God has called us. Why? Because no matter how hard it gets, you're still in God's hands. I drive on streets and highways. I don't know any of you all have license and you drive as well, but I've learned something. I've learned something. The same street when it's 90 degrees and it's sunny, just a little bit of cloud so it ain't too hot. I'm riding on that highway, I'm riding on that street. That's the exact same street I'm driving on in a hailstorm, in a snowstorm. Help me somebody. When it's raining cats and dogs, it's the same street. The street ain't changed, just the conditions have changed. The same street and highway that I use to go to work when it's sunny outside is the same street I use in a hailstorm when it's raining cats and dogs. I'm going to preach this thing if I got to preach it myself. It's the same street I use no matter what the conditions are to get to the same place. The only difference is, depending on the season, things change. Same street. Same God. No matter what the conditions, the situation, he's the same God. You used him when everything was all right, when he made sure you got that raise, when he made sure those children was all right, when he fixed some things that you put yourself in and brought you out, when he kept you when you couldn't keep yourself. He's the same God when everything is in chaos. Y'all can talk to me a little bit, but maybe this is the main thing, is that we say he may not come when you want to, but it's right on time. We say that, but we get caught up in our feelings when he don't come when we want him to. And look at this, brothers and sisters. Is that one of the main things that we need to examine in our lives and in our relationship with the Lord? And I'm not condemning what I'm saying, is because I'm right there on the same pew with you, is it's discouraging sometimes if we allow ourselves to be distracted by this one thing, when the results that we need and want are delayed. We sow and sow and we see no fruit. We get impatient We get upset. We get beside ourselves because the results and the fruit of what we feel we have worked for and what we have done are delayed. And you can look in Scripture. Habakkuk, you look at them, and two, there was a vision. There was a promise, and it was specific, divinely appointed time for fulfillment that God has anointed. And though it may seem delayed, you can know that it will come to pass. No matter what is going on, if God said it, it's going to happen. If God said it's going to be delivered, it's going to be delivered. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, one of my most encouraging verses says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, though it waits, though it takes its time, wait for it because it will surely come. It will not tarry. The blessing, the thing that God has promised, the thing that you're working for, it will come. You just have to wait. You just have to trust God. Trust God with your time. Trust God with your body. Trust God with your situation. Trust God with your mind. Trust God with your hope. Trust God with your goals. Trust God with your attitude. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Delayed results. Not only one. Sometimes that gets us a little emotionally bent out of shape. When what we want is delayed. Here in this verse, it says, "Don't be weary in well doing." Another thing is opposition and criticism. And I'm not even just talking about in the world, I'm talking about in the church, where we feel this should be a safe place. Can I say something? All have sinned and fall short of the glorious standard of God. I'm not saying that it's all right. What I'm saying is it's to be expected from human beings. Actually, it shows that some are immature. But what hurts us sometimes is when people oppose us for doing right or criticize us for just doing the Lord's work. You the one gonna show up early. They ain't coming. They ain't going to do it, but you do it. You come. They make a request, you do it the first time. They make another request. They didn't say thank you for the first request that you did. Then they make another request. You did the second request. About the fourth time, you come to yourself and say, they're making all these requests, but they're not doing anything. Help me, somebody. It's getting quiet up in here. I hope I'm touching what I'm touching. And when you receive opposition and criticism in serving the Lord, doing the right thing often takes time and causes hostility, but you still got to do the right thing. 2 Timothy scripture says in chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Yea, and in all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution." So you can't run from opposition. You can't run from criticism. You just pray for those who despitefully use you. Why? Because that's what the Bible say. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Opposition is going to come. Criticism is going to come. What a great opportunity to call on your God. What a great opportunity to get on bended knee and pray and talk to God. Yes, it's all right to be bothered by opposition and criticism and people putting burdens and saying stuff. But what a great opportunity to get in your prayer closet and tell your God about what's going on. Another thing, it's getting quiet, so I better keep on moving, is ungrateful folk. Ungrateful folk can get you to be weary and want to give up. Just being ungrateful to be ungrateful. And grateful to be grateful. You know what would be nice, Pastor? I'm just using this. This ain't a true story, but I'll give an example so y'all can get what I'm saying. What would be nice, Reverend, is if we had apples for everybody when they come into the sanctuary. You know what? I'm going to give y'all an olive branch. We'll go ahead. I'm using this as an example. We'll go ahead and we'll have apples. Y'all want apples? Okay. We'll have apples. As y'all come in, y'all get an apple. So I call the deacons. The deacons say, all right, Rep. Sure. Yep. We'll get it. We're going to do the apples. Let's do the apples. They said they want the apples. Deacons go on out. They get the best deal. They put it on. The reverend said, we're going to give apples. Soon as somebody came in, why y'all get red apples? They got green apples. You know what? Where did y'all go and get them? They was on sale over there, such and such and so and so. Well, let me look at the notes. Didn't you request for us? You wasn't going to get the apples. We went and got the apples. But then now, they the wrong color. So you change and you get the green apples. That's what they want, Reverend. Let's give them some green apples. Somebody come in. Why ain't you get the big apples? Y'all getting these medium-sized apples. You know, I got a cousin down in Mississippi. He grow apples. I know what apples are. You can get some big apples. First of all, I ain't said thank you for honoring our request. Thank you for getting the deacons together to go on and spend their own gas to pick up the apples. And they haven't got red apples. And then somebody said they want green apples. And then they're not big enough apples. And then the deacons and the pastor get together and said that there ain't no more apples because we tired. Ungrateful is an example. That didn't really happen, y'all. Is that God has given us strength. God has given us service, but don't be weary because people are being people. But if you want to help the ministry go on and you want to help somebody not give up, then encourage and lift somebody up and at least say thank you. And not just to the people you like, say thank you. I made a request. I appreciate you carrying on through with it. And hold off to your second request for about 5 years. Amen. Somebody catch that. Another thing is that allows people to get weary is because they want to compare stuff. Will you do this? Yeah, I'll do it. Well, you know, we used to do such and so. When did y'all do it? 25 years ago? We did so and so and so and so and such and such and such. And you know, so and so used to do it like this and do it like that. Well, please go get so-and-so to do what you want. Comparison. We see the wicked prosper while we struggling. We feeling. We want to compare what somebody else is doing or our lives. And we forget that we would not be who we are without the struggle. We wouldn't be who we are if we didn't have God on our side. Yeah. Yeah, I got quiet, so I better move on. But delay of results and opposition and criticism and ungratefulness by others and comparing yourself to others and being compared to others sometimes can say, you know what, I got this towel, I'm going to throw it in. But I want to say this, brothers and sisters, don't let the result determine your attitude and your faithfulness. Don't let what people say determine your attitude and your faithfulness. Don't let the result determine if you're going to keep on moving or you're going to give up. You are not here because of people and their thoughts. You are here because God took his hand and he shaped you and he made you and he breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. And you're saying, thank you, Lord, for the breath that you have given me. You are here because of God's grace, and you are here because of God's mercy and his faithfulness. You are not here to be a fan favorite. You are here to serve. If your fuel is based upon what people are saying about your service, then you have to keep on going to the gas station. You're going to run out on a regular basis. But if you are here because of grace and mercy, and praise to the God who has called you. You're going to come in here and shout, and people are going to think you're crazy. And why are you crazy? Because your God has done crazy things in your life. That is your fuel. Even great saints have grown weary. You remember Elijah? He sat up under the juniper tree. And as the Lord, the first king chapter 9, he said, let me die. I want to give up. Ooh, this is too much. Jeremiah, he wanted to quit preaching. There's so much stress on him. There's some great saints that said, Lord, take this from me. Even Jesus Christ himself said, Lord, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Paul himself had to have a little pity party. Paul himself knew the affliction and the pressure was beyond measure. But he said, there's a thorn in my flesh, but thy grace is sufficient. What I'm trying to say, God has the experience to comfort the weary. God has the experience to give you exactly what you need. Don't you stop. Don't you quit. Keep on serving. Y'all wasn't expecting for this sermon today. But keep on serving the Lord. So the first thing is, don't let, verse 9, and let us not be weary. And the next one I want to look at is in well-doing. Because when you come weary and you are not grounded in the Lord, then that can produce neglect, compromise, and then you can't stay in your well-doing. Because you've been called in well-doing, then you start compromising with folk. Your standards, your Christian standards start going all over the place. Your house look like the world and the church look like the world. And everything look because you compromise. You know what's right, but you start doing other stuff. You've walked out of your well-doing. We are called not merely to endure, but to actively persist in doing what is good. Do what's right anyhow. And make sure that right lines up with the word of God, not what you think is right. Because there's a lot of stuff that I think is right and I know is wrong with a capital W. It's right for me. It's right for my emotions. It fits how I feel. But it is wrong as two left shoes. Amen. We have to line our lives with what is right according to God's word, his will and way. We are not called merely to just not be weary, but we also, while we're waiting on the Lord, we are called to do that which is right. Well doing, it's good. What is well doing? It refers to doing what is morally and spiritually excellent. It means if I am well doing, I am doing what pleases God, not what pleases me. And I want to say you are human and I am human. And God asks us to do things that when we compare and look at our humanity, it's uncomfortable. And of course it's going to be uncomfortable because God is a spirit and we must worship God in spirit and in truth. And we have been introduced to sin thanks to Adam. And even sin is in our flesh. We can't run from sin. So of course we're going to be uncomfortable when we start doing right. Because if you look at us, ain't nothing right. Our minds go places. Our hearts go places. We do things. We need the Lord to keep us in the well-doing. Well-doing means that I'm going to do what's spiritually excellent in God's sight. I'm going to adopt a life of holiness. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. What does that mean? Aligning my life with the right attributes that please God. That's what holiness is. This is not a spectacular headline. You're going to be on the front page because you're faithful. You're not going to be on the front page because you're doing right. Every day is a day of obedience. I'm going to move right along, but can I say this, something that I even tell, especially my oldest, is that do right even when right takes longer. Right takes longer, but still do it anyway. Because then when you get the fruit of right, you'll stay there and you'll be stable and you have a strong foundation. Do what's right, even though right takes longer. Next thing is that when you do what's right and you are in the well-doing of life, is that understand that when you do what's right, it helps those who are fallen and have gone astray, is because you have a right spirit to deal with those who have gone astray. Because not only are we disciples, are followers of the Lord, not only are we that way, but we have sinned and fall short, and we've made this. But it's been called for us in Galatians chapter 6 and 1, restoring fallen believers, is we have to be gentle. And gentle is a fruit of the Spirit. That means you don't be harsh. You don't be mean. Now watch this. You don't change the standard. God has a standard. But you're not harsh. There's a certain way to go about helping somebody get where they need to go. You don't have to say the obvious. You messed up, you blemish, you're crazy, you're stupid. Come on, y'all know y'all use those words. You're supposed to be gentle and loving and not harsh on those who have messed up. And I shouldn't say this, but if we went through your file cabinet of mistakes, if we went through your file cabinet of messed up relationships, if we went through your file cabinet of bad decisions, we'll still be going through your file cabinet. And just as you would want someone to be gentle, not changing godly standard, gentle with you, you should be gentle with others. And also, in verse 2 of chapter 6 of Galatians, it says, bearing one another's burdens, helping somebody along the way. Now bearing somebody's burdens is not telling somebody what they ought to do. I'm teaching today. I may be here a little bit long. I know it's first Sunday, but I get an extra 15 minutes because it's first Sunday. Is that if you're going to help and you're going to be in that ministry, take some, I'm going to say you rely on the Lord, you rely on the Spirit, but also take some classes if you have not through work or something on emotional intelligence and people's feelings and things of that nature. If you're trying to approach somebody and you can tell by their body language they're uncomfortable and things of that nature, and some people you say you know at church, you really don't know them. You just know them at church. And you don't see them at church and church activities or at work. You don't know them. So you haven't developed a relationship to really tell them like it is. And then when you tell them like it is, then you don't see them no more. Amen. Because you told them like it is. When you bear one of the burdens, sometimes it's just good to sit there and say, uh-huh, yeah, that's right. Uh-huh, I'm trying to give you the script on to help somebody. Uh-huh, yeah, that's right. Uh-huh, yeah, that's right. And then every now and then I throw in a really. Really? Uh-huh, yeah, that's right. Then sometimes you just mix it up. That's right, really? Uh-huh. Sometimes folk just need somebody to listen. Supportive presence. They're not asking you to fix nothing, because if we look at your stuff ain't fixed. They just need an ear. They just need somebody to do what they was asked. Can you bring me a 2-piece chicken from Popeyes? That's all they ask. They didn't ask you to bring everybody while we was on the way. And we're going to have dinner and have a picnic up there in the hospital. They just said, will you bring me a 2-piece mashed potatoes, a little bit of gravy from Popeye. You know there's some folk that do that. They do everything but what you ask. Bear one another's burdens is just being there and being a supportive presence and walking in humility. So in well-doing, what it means is that I am being good all ways. It's being faithful. It's being faithful. No matter what's going on in well-doing, I'm going to do what lines up with God. The next thing is, for in due season we shall reap. Ain't that what it say? And let us not be weary. Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. That's what it say. In due season. You ever heard when it's your time? It's your time. Right now, just may not be your time. But that don't mean you can't prepare for your time. Go ahead and set that table. Even though today's not your day, still set that table. Put out them forks and spoons and knives. Go get the best plates that you want. You may not have everything you want on the plates, but be prepared so when God brings it, you can enjoy your moment. Because your due season is on the way. Why? Because the Bible says so. For in due season, we shall reap. God guarantees a harvest for those who sow in faithfulness, for those who keep on going, for those who don't give up, for those who keep their hand in God's hand. In due season, you shall enjoy your harvest. And what due season means, at God's appointed time. And I know that's hard, because even you can get on the internet, you can go places, and you can even say what time you want your food delivered. You can say what time you're going to the doctor's office. You can set all your schedule for the whole day and put it right there, and you can set your schedule. But with God, it's on God's timing, not our timing. We have to grab on to that due season. Y'all need to wake up. Say with me, due season. Due season. Yeah, you got to wait on your due season. You can't rush God. You got to wait on God. Not rush God. Wait on him. Don't rush him. Wait on him. Don't push him. Wait on him. The farmer cannot rush the seasons. I've done it. Got my cucumbers out there. One morning I said, you need to bring me some cucumbers. And they didn't. They came when it was proper time. Had to go through its process. You can't force and rush the process. But while I was waiting on my cucumbers, I was still weeding and cultivating and pouring in the fertilizer and making sure that no deer and things could get to my plant, because I knew the cucumbers could come. I could see them starting. I could see them coming. I just had to wait on the due season. I had to wait on God's timing and the process in which he waits. And then when they're ready, then I can go get my cucumbers. And some of us want things. We're not waiting for it. It's coming. You can even see that God is doing it, but you don't rush God. You wait on God. You know he write about it. Abraham waited 25 years for Isaac. Joseph waited 13 years from the pit to the palace. The harvest came in due season. You sitting here hollering about 25 seconds, 25 minutes, and Abraham had to wait 25 years. You sitting here hollering about 13 months when Joseph had to wait 13 years. He went into the pit. Been in prison, been lied on, but in due season, his harvest came. Scripture tells us that if we just wait on the Lord, he shall renew our strength. You just trust in God to renew your strength. Put it in God's hands, and don't you give up. Don't you stop. Don't you quit. There's a little nugget there at the end. What does it say? If we faint, not. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season, we shall reap. The harvest will come. But there is a condition on you and your thought process. If we what? Faint. Faint not. But Lord, they got attitude problems. If we faint, not. There's some difficult folk to deal with. If we faint, now, they never answer my phone call. I've turned in all the papers. I've filed it on the internet. I've done everything I supposed to do. But it says your harvest will come if you faint not. My health is not what it used to be. If we faint not, we can come with all kinds of reasons to give up. But the Bible says if we stay in there, if we stay in the race, if we keep our hand in God's hand, if we don't give up, if we faint not, then the harvest is certain. It is conditional, brothers and sisters, that you have to have a spirit of perseverance. The meaning of faint not is just this simple. It means to be loosened and unstrung and relax and let go. Don't you let go. Don't you relax. Like a runner who collapses before the finish line. Ran a good race, but then fell right there before the finish line. Yeah, you got to keep on running. You got to keep on trusting. You got to know who your God is. So all I want to say is don't give up. Simply because verse 9 says, and let us not, that's the formula right there for not giving up. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Yeah, you can keep on going. You can wake up again tomorrow if it's the Lord's will. Fix your eyes on Christ. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Renew your strength in God's word and prayer. But they that wait upon the Lord, the Bible says, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not faint. Renew your strength in God's word and in his power. Don't you give up, my brother. Don't you give up, my sister. Stay connected to God's house. Why? Because we bear one another's burdens. Look to your left. They've been through some things since last Sunday. Look to your right. They've been through some things since last Sunday. Look back and forward. They've been through some things. You've been through some things. But God has taken us through this thing. So you just need to trust in God and keep on keeping on. Remember, the harvest is coming. Even though you may not see it, maybe even though you need a new one, keep the promise before your eyes. Your reward is coming. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. Zechariah chapter 4. It's not by your strength, it's not by your might, it's not by your power, it's by trusting in God. And you know what I trust in? I trust in the Son of God. And his name is Jesus. Capital J-E-S-U-S. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, we wouldn't be able to make it, brothers and sisters. I say thank you. Thank you, God, for Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that through Jesus we can have everlasting life. Everlasting life means no more high blood pressure. Everlasting life means no more cancer. Everlasting life means no more diabetes. Everlasting life means no more walkers. Everlasting life means no more canes. Yeah, it keeps on blessing when we look at the eternal life that God has promised us. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. For you have brought me a mighty, mighty long way. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. You kept my mother. You kept my father. You kept my sister, my brother too. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. For you brought me. You brought me a mighty long way. Well, talking about Jesus, y'all know what happened to Jesus. They put him there on Calvary's cross to be sacrificed for you and for me. Bull couldn't do it. Blood of the bull couldn't do it. But the lamb did it. Incarnation, he was divine. But he allowed himself to become flesh for you and for me. He was crucified. His dead body placed there in the tomb. But early Sunday morning, by the power of God, he got up for you and for me. He could have been weary. He could have gave up. He could have walked away. But he stayed right there. And he was faithful for you and for me. So if Jesus didn't give up on his task and his ministry to die for our sins, don't you give up. Don't you dare throw in the towel. Don't you run away. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. How many know he's a keeper? He's a keeper. He's a keeper. Hey, 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 he's a keeper. Don't give up. To the weary believer, take heart today. If you're feeling tired spiritually, even physically, God sees every seed that you have sown. Not one has fallen to the ground unnoticed. God knows your story. I just plead to you, wait for your due season, and you will reap your harvest. To the one who has just stopped, you've quit. It is not too late to pick up the plow again. Return to being faithful to what God has called you to be, because we serve a God of grace. The God of all grace will restore you and strengthen you. You just have to trust him with your faithfulness. To those who have lost, who are lost, who have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the greatest well-doing begins with trusting Christ as your Savior with your soul. You cannot sow to the Spirit until the Spirit dwells in you. You cannot walk with God if the Spirit is not in you, because you have two conflicting spirits if you not have accepted Jesus in your heart and the Holy Spirit come in your heart. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? If you'll please stand today. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you may receive him at this time. If there's one, my brother and my sister, who want to join in and connect with this body of believers, you can come by Christian Experience. You can come by letter. If you're coming by Christian Experience, you can come by letter or Christian Experience. Or if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're candidate for baptism. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Is there one?
Trust in the Lord until I die. I will trust in the Lord.
Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Please come, my brother. Please come, my sister. Is there one? The reason why you are coming is because of public confession of Jesus Christ. The reason why you're coming is to profess that you want to connect with this body of believers. Is there one? Is there one? Oh, I'm going to see God. I'm going to see God. For myself. Oh, yes, I'm going to see God. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Is there one? Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Is still open to you. The invitation does not stop, my brother, my sister. Don't be weary in well doing. In due season, you shall reap. There is a condition on that. If you don't give up, if you faint not, stay in the course, stay in the race. How many know that God is faithful? He is faithful. Whatever situation may be challenging you to be weary, it may not be ministry, it just may be life struggles and challenges. Don't be weary in well doing. Keep on doing what's right. And in your season, God will give you the harvest. Just faint not. Amen. At this time, is there anyone we are preparing for our Lord's Supper in remembrance of what Christ has done on Calvary's cross for us? Is there anyone who has not been served? If you have not been served and you would like to be served, if you could please raise your hand. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? You have not. Amen. We have one right here. Amen. Amen. if it's for Mother Bush and them too, I got them. Amen. I got them. If it's for them, I got them. Amen. Amen. I got Mother. Is there anyone else? Amen. Amen. We'll ask the deacons if they come forward.
From 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at the 23rd verse. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread, and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Such is the reading of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread, which represents thy broken body. We thank you for the fruit of the vine, which represents thy shedded blood. Father, we pray that you would touch each and every one of our hearts so that we may examine ourselves, that we may be found worthy enough to partake of this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you.
Amen. Before we partake together, I want to talk to us. The reason why we do this is to remember what Christ has done for us. And we do this on First Sunday as an ordinance of the church to remind us why we are here. We are here and we're believers because of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. And because of his blood was shed. Give me just a few minutes. His blood was shed on Calvary's cross for us that paid the price for us. We believe that. So we do in remembrance of what our big brother Jesus, he's the firstborn among many, did for each and every one of us. I have instituted and brought back some things starting last first Sunday in June. And I did this not for tradition purposes, but for education purposes. Some may look at it as what we used to do. I'm not doing it for what we used to do. I'm doing it for education purposes. We have a generation coming up that may not know some of the stuff that we do. And to be honest, we don't always explain what we do. We just do what we do. So, First Lady, we honor Sister Bush for being the past pastor's First Lady. It's just honor and love. We honor the mothers, and I serve the mothers. And the purpose of the mothers is to be women, older women, of godly wisdom. They're not harsh. They're not mean. They show love and talk to the females of the church and live by example. Amen? Amen. That's the purpose of the mothers' ministry. DWD ministry, deaconess and deacon wives, just by the name, amen. They're servants and the wives of deacons, and they help and they serve their husbands as well as her serving the church. And we do that to recognize them for their service. Not that anybody's better than anybody, but somebody asks, why are they doing that? And that lets you know those are the servants of the church. Not because of tradition, not because that's what we used to do, but to educate the upcoming generation. That's why we ask offering, come on around. I heard a four-year-old say, Daddy, why are we doing that? It's because offering and tithes and offering is a part of what we do. So for educational purposes, not for traditional purposes. And back to communion, Lord's Supper. We're not doing this for tradition because that's what we do on First Sunday. We're doing this to remember what Christ has done for us. Amen? Amen. And I challenge myself as well as you. Let us stop just doing stuff. But let's talk to people and share with them in love why we do what we do. Amen? Amen. Not just do it, but why we do what we do. If you could please secure. The bread represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us partake together. Like manner, the fruit of the vine represents the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. Let us partake together. Amen. The reason why let us partake together is those who are believers, those who are in the faith, are communing together in like belief, in like action, that Jesus Christ did die for our sins, and he is the Savior. Amen. Amen. In remembering of what he's done, we like to do a verse of at the cross. If we can do a verse of at the cross, so if we can please stand, we have our containers. Caleb, white containers. Will you please deposit those in the white containers on the way out as we fellowship together at the cross, and then we shall on the way out. If you can deposit white containers, I also have a white container up here if you at that door. Song says, at the cross, oh, at the cross. Himself. where you put your hands together. This is where you put your hands together. Oh, at the cross, oh. A lot of dollars to go to, but we do have our various homes and places to go. We do not go in benediction, we go in purpose. So go with God, go in peace, sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You now are dismissed. Amen.